If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
The book Summer Movies is your guide to 30 sun-drenched classics that through beach parties, road trips, outdoor sports, summer camp, all managing to keep summer alive year-round. Packed with promotion details, stories from the set, and more, this 150 color and black and white photo, the book takes an in-depth look at films from the silent era to the present that reflect the full range of how summer has been depicted on screen. From 1964's Endless Summer to National Lampoon's Vacation, Jaws, Caddyshack, so much more. The author and curator of this category is John Mulahy of Turner Classic Movies, and he joins us now. Welcome in, John.
Hey, Dave. Thanks so much for having me on.
Absolutely.
Great intro.
Absolutely. You know, John, working for Turner Classic Movies, you've had a passion for film all your life, haven't you?
Yeah, you know, and TCM was really instrumental in that. I think, I grew up, I remember getting sort of those TV guides in the paper every week and going through it and marking up all the films I wanted to see that were showing on TCM and, you know, deciding what to stay up late to watch and what to record, you know, on the VHS, in the VHS days. And it was hugely educational. I just remember, all those great films I saw and all the great introductions that I saw on TCM from folks like, you know, the late, great Robert Osborne. Yeah. Ben Mankiewicz. So I've been a fan for a long time, and it's really a dream come true to work there.
We have Ben on now and then, too. He's awesome. So how did you pick Summer?
Well, yeah. Well, actually, I work sort of behind the scenes on our publishing partnership at TCM. We've done, probably 25 or 30 books at this point on a lot of different topics, you know, your biographies and your histories and that sort of thing. But I also have done a couple of guides on, like, Christmas films and, you know, films to watch around Halloween. And I was thinking, you know, just as you watch, you know, holiday films around Christmas time and scary movies around Halloween and, you know, maybe war films during Memorial Day, there's also a bunch of films that are set in the summertime that could be, you know, really inspiring or just kind of getting you in the mood for the season. And, you know, I just brought this up at a pitch meeting at one point, and they're, you know, they took to it and they said, oh, you just go ahead and write that. And I'm pretty sure they were kidding at first, but started putting a lot more thought into it. And, you know, there's just such a cool diversity of films on this list that I put in this book, and I'm really proud of, you know, just sort of the eclectic nature of it. You got everything from, like you said, a silent film to a documentary to, you know, Gidget to National Lampoon's Vacation and everything in between. So it's really sort of a personal project for me that I really got into. But yeah, it's just sort of like, I hope it's inspiring for people, you know, not only for films to watch, but experiences to have during the summertime.
It was very in the beginning of the pandemic that, you know, I'm a big drive-in movie theater guy. And so in the beginning, we were like, okay, you know, like, how do we have people over and kind of be outdoors and do whatever and maybe share a movie or whatever? We bought a big inflatable screen in the backyard and projector and all that. And we started playing, you know, movies out there. We played James Bond, but then we started doing, you know, Fast Times at Ridgemont High. I mean, not for the little kids, of course. We played Cars, Disney Cars up there. And then we were like, what about summer movies? And then we did Vacation. And we did Caddyshack and some of these back there. And it was some of the, you know, a lot of fun, you know, especially when we were so locked down. Now, this movie, this book about movies is more or less, they define summer. The themes are summer. But you do touch upon the fact that Jaws really set the tone and the future of what summer blockbusters were all about.
Yeah, you know, I think when people hear the term summer movie, they think of summer blockbusters like that. Jaws really does sort of touch both worlds. I mean, it's probably the reason I thought of this book in the first place. It was a movie I grew up with, probably watched every year since I was young. Probably watched it too young, honestly. and it's still a touchstone for a lot of people. I think when it opened, it was such a huge, there was a lot of promotion around it, which is something that really set it apart. They opened it in the summer on purpose to kind of take advantage of the, you know, kids being home from school. And I think it kind of hit a nerve too, just because, you know, we were about to hit the bicentennial in the U.S. and the film takes place over the 4th of July. So it kind of has that element to it, but also that sort of, you know, undercurrent of something kind of lurking below the surface. And when you think about it, looking back, you know, maybe this wasn't obvious when it opened in 1975, but looking back, it's interesting because it's kind of at the end of the Vietnam War and, you know, Watergate had happened. Nixon had resigned about a year earlier. And I think there was a little bit of, you know, anxiety and pessimism maybe that sort of, Maybe this movie kind of touched upon that too. But it was an absolute monster of a film. And I think even today, you know, people say that Jaws did for the ocean kind of what Psycho did for the shower.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, so yeah, very
I think
true.
Me and probably millions of other people are sort of still scared of sharks and deep water. And a lot of that, you know, has to do with the kind of stuff we see in this movie. I think we all kind of get that John Williams score in our head anytime we go to the ocean, right? We're kind of looking around us. So
no question.
So it's still, it's still very relevant today, I think.
We bump back in with Chevy Chase, probably the most filled with bleeps and profanities, but it really kind of wrapped up his road trip of what he went through. And that Great American Road Trip, and this was written originally National Lampoon's Vacation, it's called Vacation 58, that they turned into this movie. The Griswolds, you know, they ended up being in this movie and then so many others, but to me, that is one of the top three for me that defines summer.
Oh, absolutely. My favorite quote about it is from the director, Harold Ramis. He said that, you know, it's the story of a dad who basically gets a couple of weeks off a year and tries to overcompensate for all the time he didn't spend with his family.
Right.
And, you know, I feel for the guy. He's trying to have this perfect vacation, and yet everything that can possibly go wrong does. And I think, you know, we've probably all had vacations like that. Maybe it's not a road trip across the country to your theme park that's, you know, winds up not being open, but you know, maybe you lose your luggage on your flight, or, you know, somebody gets sick on the way, or, you know, all sorts of things go wrong. I think, you know, and behind every great comedy, there's truth, right? And I think there's a lot of truth in that movie. It's absolutely one of my favorites. And I think, too, that's partly because I did take a road trip like that to California with my family back in, 88, 89. And I bet everyone was thinking about this movie when we took that trip.
So. I bet. There's a couple of facts that I know about the movie that I just love, like the car. It was a Ford LTD's Country Squire that was modified to be as unattractive as possible, and it did the job a little too well. They said following the release, station wagon sales actually did plummet, and that's when we started kind of moving into, you know, vans and SUVs and all these other things. But I know Wally World was shot at Six Flags Magic Mountain in Valencia.
That's right.
There was a time where I saw, right in the beginning of the movie, when Clark and Ellen are washing dishes, he scrapes the food off, and then she does that, and then he takes them and just dries them and puts them back in the cabinet. Nothing was washed. Like, there's little nuances like that in there that I just find fascinating.
I know. Yeah. It's terrific. Now that's you know, those little moments like that, and good eyes, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, little nuggets of comedy gold and really make that movie.
And that wasn't the original ending either.
I think they actually tried to shoot at Disneyland, but they wouldn't consent to it. Not too surprised about that. I think Disneyland was actually in the short story that John Hughes had written.
That's right.
It didn't turn out so well for him, so I think Disney didn't take to it too kindly.
We're talking to John Mulahey of Turner Classic Movies. His book is Summer Movies, 30 Drenched Classics. If you want to share your favorite summer movie, themed film, call or text us 312-981-7200. And there's more with John on 720 WGN. All right, Dave Plyer on 720 WGN. We're talking to John Mulahey of Turner Classic Movies. His book is Summer Movies, 30 Sun-Drenched Classics. So you kick off the book, and let's talk some about some of the older movies in here. You talk about Lonesome, Coney Island-based silent movie from Universal in 1928. That's your first movie you chose.
Yeah, I wanted to try to get an older film in here. You know, this was something that was made right around the turn of, you know, when silent movies were sort of at their apex, and then movies like The Jazz Singer came along and really changed the game. So if you see Lonesome today, it's silent, but it's got a couple of little sequences in it of the characters singing and talking, which were inserted later by the producers. But it's really about these two, you know, actors who aren't very well known today, but who work, you know, 9 to 5 in New York City, and then they get a day off around the 4th of July, and they both wind up going out to Coney Island where they meet. And there's some just lovely scenes of Coney Island and the rides and the boardwalk and the two characters sitting on the beach. It's a pretty simple story of them sort of coming together and then, you know, getting separated and finding each other at the end. It's a sweet movie.
Fast forward a little bit to something somewhat similar. You know, Romance and Blue Ribbons at Iowa's annual fair, state fair, is a cinematic classic.
It is. And this is the second version of this movie. There was one done in the early 30s. But this is the Rodgers and Hammerstein, like, musical version. They had just sort of hit it big with Oklahoma, and I think the producers of this film really wanted to get a great film hit for them. So this is actually, I think, one of their only original film musicals. But it's great. It's got Dana Andrews, in particular, in a really kind of a different role for him. He was known for, you know, film noir stuff, and he was about to be in The Best Years of Our Lives. So he was kind of stuck in that point of his career where he was a big star, and Gene Crane plays his love interest. And, yeah, it's just a charming film about family going off to the Iowa State Fair.
I've got some texters with some thoughts on best summer movies. Someone mentions Little Darlings. I think that was Christy McNichol, Tatum O'Neill. It was they were kind of at odds, and there was a contest to see who could lose their virginity first. I think that's a real sweet one. Summer camp, right?
That's a classic. Well, it's a good summer camp film, I think, though, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Forgetting Sarah Marshall with Kristen Bell. Well, that's summer. Yeah. It's probably tropical, but I'm not sure if it took place in the summer.
That's Hawaii set, I think, right?
Yeah.
You know, that, and I have a film called Moon Over Miami that, you know, I was like, well, it's always summer in Miami, so I can get away with that. It's not necessarily specifically in summer, but, you know, and I feel like Hawaii is the same way.
847, Friday the 13th, a little summer camp fun. Mm-hmm. I would say Friday the 13th has a summer vibe to it, I guess.
Well, you know, I went back and forth on, like, horror films and action films. You know, something like Independence Day, for example. That's clearly a summer movie. It takes place over the 4th of July. But I was trying to go for, like, these more typical universal experiences, and I just feel like something like Friday the 13th maybe doesn't apply. And maybe the tone isn't exactly what I was going for. So.
Right. Well, when you're we were going to pick in summer movies. I mean, the list is endless. You gotta pare it down to something, yeah, you know, readable, and there's great information and background and amazing photos, color and black and white in this book as well. Stand By Me, absolute classic from 1986. Call Me By Your Name from 2017, probably one of the more recent ones in the book.
Yeah, I went from, you know, 1928 Lonesome all the way to 2017, so I got, you know, pretty good chunk of the cinema history in there.
Yeah.
And I wanted to bring it up to the present. I think this one is sort of I don't think it's really a cult classic. I think it's just a classic at this point. It's sort of another coming-of-age film set in Italy. I have a few movies in this book that are set, basically, American characters going overseas and, you know, meeting people, having experiences, and kind of having life changing. You know, you get out of your routine and you kind of can see your life sort of from the outside in. And I feel like that's what's happening with the character you call me by your name. And I think it's just so sort of that easygoing kind of carefree life in Northern Italy. It just looks so beautiful. I kind of just feel like taking a vacation and just watching the film.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. A lot of these movies too are like year end, you know, like end of the school year type movies, like The Graduate. You know, I wouldn't necessarily really quick put it up there, but yeah, when you think about it, yeah, it was after graduation. Dustin Hoffman's character doesn't know what he wants to do with his life. He meets Mrs. Robinson, mm-hmm, played by Anne Bancroft. That is one of those too. But then I would put American Graffiti in that same category too, because it was end of summer. What do we do with our life next? Who's going to school? Who's not going to school?
Yeah.
We got 630 Meatballs with Bill Murray. There's a few people chiming in on Golden Pond.
I do have Meatballs in the book, actually.
I
got a little notice on there because I do have I cheated a little bit, and I have a little double feature recommendation for each of those. So
yeah, you do.
You'll find Meatballs with Moonrise Kingdom. So a couple of summer camp films there.
Somebody noted American Pie on Golden Pond, which is there where the boys are. A young Frankenstein, not so much a summer movie, but
it was
a classic. We'll call it a blockbuster of the time, for sure. Let's see here. Big Fish, Weekend at Bernie's. You know, I have to say, not my favorite film.
I think I did a recreation of a photograph one time of, you know, holding up
did you?
When he went limp. So that's a good one. It's a little off-kilter.
But. It's a little off-kilter. I agree with you. So many, but again, John's top 30 can be found in the book, Summer Movies, 30 Sun-Drenched Classics. All right, John, thanks for joining us. Enjoy the rest of your summer.
You too. Thanks so much.